Well, praise the Lord for His goodness to us this morning already. Truly, out of the mouth of babes, God has perfected praise. God doesn't need a whole lot to bring glory and honor to His name. He just simply needs a clear, innocent, open vessel. And He can pick up a three-year-old and bless every heart in this room, or He can use a 60-year-old to bless every heart in this room. It doesn't really matter to God. It's availability that's important to our Lord. I thank God that I could be here already this morning and be challenged by the first message to hear the instruction given to our children. I had to think, what a blessing that our children hear the things that they hear Sunday by Sunday. And then these family verses and songs. We really could go home, you know. We could head on home right now and just be praising God for all He's done for us. But I trust that He has some more for us yet this morning. Greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to welcome all the visitors that are here. Good to see Emmanuel and Marianne back with us from Montana. What a joy to see them this morning. Well, I'm not going to speak on Mother's Day this morning, but I would like to bring a message along the lines of the home, one that is long overdue, one that several people have been after me to bring. I'd like to bring a message this morning on the subject parent-child relationships. Now, Brother Carl, he brought one on child-parent relationships. And it was a beautiful lesson for our children. Now, I'd like to bring one on parent-child relationships this morning, which I feel is also very vital and very important. I must admit, I don't bring this message as one who has arrived, but one who's learning. As my children grow older on me, I find out more all the time how much I'm failing in this area of parent-child relationships. So maybe I should say this morning that I'm giving you my ideals. Not what I've attained, but my ideals. And I think that'd be good for all of us to open our heart up. I believe they're biblical ideals in the relationship that parents should have with their children. I'd like to begin by reading a text in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Remember ye, we'll read verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We see two relationships in this text. If I can just use this text as an introduction, we see two relationships here very clearly as we look at the text. The first relationship that we see is a relationship of a parent. Specifically here it says father. For the sake of the message, we'll say a parent. And the relationship is that of the parents and the children. The first one, the father's heart is turned away from his children. The mother's heart is turned away from her children. And the children's heart is turned away from the father and the mother. Nevertheless, it's the picture of a relationship. As we continue to look at this text, we see also another relationship. It's an ideal relationship. It's a visionary relationship. But nevertheless, it's a relationship that God is very concerned about. And we can tell by reading the words here that it's no little relationship in the eyes of God. Because He says that if this doesn't happen, if this relationship, the first one we see here, doesn't change, I'm going to come and smite the earth with a curse. And thus we see a second relationship. And here we see a father and a mother whose hearts have been turned toward their children. And we also see children whose hearts have been turned toward father and mother. What a beautiful relationship. Amen? One is a very powerful picture of the power of God and the work of grace in the hearts of people. And the other, I must say, is a very devastating picture, isn't it? Parents' hearts set on other things, seeking after other goals, running after other desires, consuming their time in other directions, and their hearts are completely turned away from their children. Now they have children. The children are there in their home. They're there. They see them every day. They hear the words mommy. They hear the words daddy. They sit at the same breakfast table with them. But their hearts are turned away from those children because they have other things on their mind. And at the same time, we see some children here. They have a mommy. They have a daddy. They live in a home with them. They sit at the breakfast table. They say, good morning, mom. Good morning, dad. But yet, they sit also there and their hearts are completely turned away from their parents. That's a devastating picture, isn't it? That God clearly draws out for us in His Word this morning. One of God's greatest concerns in the last day, we can clearly see that from the text here. Well, let a world full of people go on in this relationship for a few generations and you'll have a world that will destroy itself. Yes. Let a world full of people, a world full of families, continue on for a few generations in this devastating picture and you'll have a world that will destroy itself. What a picture of America this morning. Amen? Yes. Parents' hearts turned away from their children. I want that new house. I want that status that I'll get. I want that promotion. I want that money. I want that career. I want those things. I want that pleasure. And they are seeking after all of those things. In fact, I just read an article that said 54% of the women who work would go home and be with their children again if they could afford it. The problem is they've raised their standard of wants so high that they can't afford it, so they take those things rather than a beautiful relationship with their children. A picture of America, isn't it? A child's heart set on fads, set on how they can please their peers, set on sports, set on fun and games, set on my way and my things, rather than set on my father and my mother. What a picture of America this morning. And I guarantee you, if America continues in that kind of a direction, she is on a road of self-destruction. They don't need to call the communists in here. They don't need to gather a million-man army outside of our door. Every one of the nations of this world that would like to see America fall to the ground, all they need to do is stand back and wait a couple more generations, and they can walk in and pick up the pieces after we have destroyed ourselves. Oh, America, will you not learn from Rome? Rome had a powerful army. Rome had all the money. Rome had all the materialism. Rome had all the technology of their day. And Rome fell flat on its face because it lost its homes. Right. Speaking a little prophetically here this morning, this is a teaching session. I think it'll get down to that. But even though it's that way in America, and we know that that's a picture of this nation that we live in, at the same time, the Spirit of God is stirring the hearts of many parents into the direction of their children, away from the other things. And He's also turning the hearts of children back to their parents. We see that happening in this country where we live. And wherever that happens, it's a beautiful and a powerful testimony. You know it. The world knows it. They notice the difference. They can spot it within 2 minutes. Wherever the Spirit of God is brooding, and wherever those fathers and mothers are allowing their hearts to be turned back to their children, then their children's hearts turn back to them, and it becomes a beautiful testimony, and the world knows it. They spot it very quickly. Well, there's more to this matter than just turning from our materialism, our careers, our new houses, our businesses, our money, the things money can buy, and all the pleasures that we want. There's much more to it than just turning away from those things. The text clearly shows us that it's a turning, and that word turn there means repent. It's more than just a repentance from those things which captivated our time and attention, but it's also a repenting to that responsibility of a relationship with our children that God is very concerned about. Thus, I'd like to speak this morning about the relationship of parents with their children. Children are real people. And I thought when I wrote this down, maybe some will think, well, that's kind of an odd statement. Everybody in this room knows that. But let me make it again. Children are real people. Your child is a real person. They think, they feel, they hurt just like you do. They have opinions. They have fears. They have struggles just like you do. Children are real people. Wise is the parent who learns this when a child is very young. But you must learn it as they begin to develop into young adults. Now, you're very wise if you knew that when your children were very young, and you began from the time they were little to treat them like a person who has feelings and thoughts and hurts and struggles and fears and all the other things that all of us have. But many times, parents do not realize that their children are people just like they are. As your children get older, you'll have to learn this if you're going to have fruitful, blessed relationships with your children as they grow older. You must learn this. My child is a person just like I am, and I must be concerned about that child's feelings, their opinions, what they're thinking, where their struggles are, where their temptations are, where their fears are. Or you'll never have a good relationship with your children as they begin to grow older. It won't happen. Now, if you're here this morning and your children are 3 and 4 and 5 years old, you have a grace period. You have a grace period. You can get away with it for a little while longer, but you won't continue to get away with just treating them like some object in the house instead of a real person. When my children, the older ones, were growing up and they were little, they used to tell me, "You're the best papa in the whole wide world." Now, I think that's a good thing for children to think about their dad. I hope every dad is the greatest dad in the whole wide world in this room. And I trust and hope that every mom is the greatest mom in the whole wide world. Super mom. That just be that today. I think it ought to be that way as the children are growing up. But the children used to say, "You're such a good papa. You never fail. You never make any mistakes." And I sat there wisely and told them, "You just grow up a few more years, and I think you'll realize I'm not as good of a papa as you think that I am." And then they would say back, "No, papa, we know you're a good papa, and everything, you're not going to change. That's not true." And they wouldn't hear it. Their sweet little innocent child minds wouldn't hear such thoughts like that. But if you sat the older ones down this morning and asked them whether I'm the best papa in the whole wide world and never make any mistakes and I never fail, they'd have to disagree with that now because they know different than that. As children begin to approach maturity, they gain discernment. It's part of God's process of growing up. When they're little, they don't have a lot of discernment. With a little child, you can correct a little child in anger and they'll just receive it as authority. But you can't walk up to a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old and correct them with an angry spirit and they'll just take it. It's not that way anymore. They begin to develop discernment and all of a sudden they can see Dad's mad. Mom just got mad. Mom yelled at me with an angry attitude. And all those things begin to take on a different picture for them. Because they're developing discernment, which they have to have if they're ever going to live in this world. They've got to have their own abilities to discern what is right and what is wrong. And they're developing that. So, for many of us in this room, those days of grace are over. And our children have passed into those ages, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and on up the road we can go, and no longer can we pull those things over on our children anymore. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We can't do it. No longer do they see that anger as authority. Now they see that anger and authority. Before, they just put the two together. But now, they see the anger and they see the authority. Isn't that right? When I think of relationships with children, a few verses come to my mind that I'd like to read, and I don't think I'm going to say a lot about them, but I would like to read them to stimulate our meditation in the direction of the points that I have. Let's turn to Proverbs 18:14. When we're considering this matter of parent-child relationships. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" That's a good verse to ponder this morning as we consider this matter of parent-child relationships. A wounded spirit. Who can bear? A little bit further down in the same chapter, Proverbs 18:19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." May I just interject a word in here and meditate on this verse another time through. A child offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. That's a good word for us to meditate upon this morning. It's true. We can offend our children. We can wound their spirit. We can cause them to withdraw themselves and withdraw their affections and withdraw their loyalties and replace it with contentious rebellion. And it happens all the time in many a home. The book of Proverbs also says that words make wounds. There's about three or four verses in Proverbs that clearly bring this principle out, that if the wrong words are used, those words become wounds in the heart of the individual who receives those words. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And verse 21, we find another very interesting word along this line. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So I believe that this verse is a verse that God is speaking to us about our relationship with our children. There is a way that we can provoke our children to anger. We can make them mad. We can, by what we do to them, by what we say to them, by how we treat them, we can make our children angry. And God says, don't do it. Or after they get angry, over and over and over again, eventually they'll get discouraged and give up and not even try anymore in the relationship with father and child, mother and child. Ephesians says a little bit the same in chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So in the other verse, it said anger, and here it says wrath, and simply what it means is, don't push your children until they explode. That's what the verse is saying. Don't treat your children in such a way that it makes them explode. A lot of times, what us parents do is we push our children till they explode, then we discipline them for exploding. That's not right. That's not right. We need to take a look at the other side of it a little bit this morning and make sure that we're not the cause of our child exploding. And then also, for our meditation this morning, let's read over in Matthew 18. Hannah, you want to come here a minute? Come and see Papa a minute. Papa wants to use you just for a minute, okay? Now let's look here now at the verse here. Reading in Matthew 18, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
And whosoever receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Thank you. Whosoever offends one of these little ones, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were drowned in the midst of the sea. This matter of relationships with our children is no little matter to God. It's very important. It should be of utmost importance in our own minds. It's something that we should be continually thinking about. How is my relationship with my children? Let's turn also to 1 Corinthians 13. We're still laying the groundwork here. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity seeketh not her own. Charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. It never fails. Now I'd like to just stimulate our meditation here again concerning our relationship with our children in light of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I've written down here in my Bible about 16 different aspects of love, and I just want to read them to you and add a little word to them. You ponder them as I read them. Love doesn't lose patience with the children. Love looks for ways to be kind to the children. Love is not envious or possessive of the children. Love is not eager to impress the children. Love is not puffed up or boastful to the children. Love has good manners to the children. Love does not pursue selfish advantages with the children. Love is not touchy or resentful with the children. Love doesn't keep account of evil with the children. Love doesn't gloat over the evil that the children did. Love rejoices when truth prevails in the children. Love welcomes the pressures and the testings that come from the children. Love believes the best in the children. Love hopes for gain in the children. Love endures all that opposes it for the children. Love never fails for the children. Now that's a good way to meditate through 1 Corinthians 13 this morning, isn't it? To put our children there and begin to examine our relationship with them and how we do and how we fare. So, our children are growing up, aren't they? It happens so fast, I can hardly believe it. He's growing so quickly. Why, he grew 3 inches last year. We had to buy pants for him 3 times. She's turning into such a young lady. I just can hardly believe how fast my children are growing up. Isn't it true, brothers and sisters? We would all give testimony to that. As we ponder how fast they are growing up on us. But as they're growing up, they're gaining that discernment, that understanding, that ability to see through things, to know us the way we really are, to see our failures, to see our faults, to know when we're upset, to know to be hurt, to have expectations. All of these things are coming along with those children that are growing up. They're not just growing up in body. They're not just getting bigger. His muscles are not just getting bigger than they used to be. She's not just developing into a young lady. They're maturing as individual people with struggles and burdens and trials and hurts and fears and all the things that go with normal life just like we do. They are coming into that stage of life where they're no longer hidden from all of those things because of the innocence of their childhood. But they're coming into that area of life where they have to begin making decisions, facing problems, knowing what to do here, choosing direction of life and convictions and all of these things. They're coming into those years. Yes, our children, they're growing up. It happens so fast. I can hardly believe how quickly the years have gone by, but they have gone by. What do they need? What do those children need? Parents, this morning, as they're growing into those years that we've been describing and defining here this morning, what do they need? Number one, they need your time. They need your time. They need lots of your time. They need the time that it takes. They need some sacrificial time. They need to see that you care about them enough to give them your time. They need it. They desperately need it. Your time. When I was in Bible school, they sold me a bill of goods there. They said, you're going to be a busy preacher all your life. You need to make sure you give your children quality time. You won't be able to give them quantity time, so you better make sure you give them quality time. And I swallowed that one when I was in school, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says you give them quality time, and you give them quantity time, and you'll build a relationship that'll last all throughout your days. That's what the Bible teaches. They need your time. Time. That's relationship's greatest enemy, isn't it? Time. You don't build relationships without time. You don't build relationships with good desires. You don't build relationships with high ideals. You build relationships with time, brothers and sisters. It takes time to build a relationship, doesn't it? They need your time. That's the first thing they need. If we could go back to the text there in Malachi, I painted before your mind the things that are there that all of America is running after. Instead of having their heart turned toward their children, they're turned to all those things. But all those things represent time, don't they? It's time. How many times have I heard this testimony? We've been wanting to get rid of our television for a long, long time. Praise God, we don't have to talk about that or preach about it in this room. But I've heard the testimony. We've been wanting to get rid of our television for the longest time. But we were afraid that the children would get too upset about it. Finally, Father got up enough courage to throw that television out the window and smash it in a dumpster somewhere. And you know what they found out? All that time that they spend in front of that box, they begin spending it with their children. Yes. And the children loved it. Hallelujah. They didn't miss the television at all because they got time. Mom and Dad's time instead. Hallelujah. They need your time. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm building a career. I'm building a business. I have a ministry. I'm training for this. No, my friend. You won't have anything when you get done if you don't have your children. They need your time. Quality time and quantity time. Both of them. They need them. What else do they need? They need sacrifice. They need to see you sacrifice for them. They need that. They need to see you change your priorities and know that it was for them. They need to see you going without food for them. They need to see you getting up early just for them. They need that. They need to see you sacrifice for them. Sacrifice, it's a silent message. There's a silent message that sacrifice gives. It just keeps on saying it over and over and over again. When your throat gets tired, when you can't say it anymore, sacrifice will just keep right on saying that beautiful silent message. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I've sacrificed for you. I've paid prices for you. I've given up things for you. You're important. My time with you is more important than other things. That's what sacrifice says. It's a beautiful silent message that just keeps right on speaking to those children that you desperately need to have a good relationship with. Sacrifice. They need to see you sacrifice. It says, Mom and Dad, love me. Mom and Dad, love me. Mom and Dad, love me. I'm going through struggles, but Mom and Dad, love me. I don't know which way to turn now, but Mom and Dad, love me. That's what it says. They need to see you pay a price in order to spend some time with them. And it'll speak when you can't be there. Mom and Dad, they love me. I'm having a trouble. But Mom and Dad love me. I don't know which way to turn. Mom and Dad love me. What am I going to do now? But Mom and Dad love me. It speaks a silent message to the heart of your children. Day by day by day, they need to see that you sacrifice for them. Number three, they need your communication. They need your communication. You need to talk to them. They need to hear you. Sit down with them and draw out of them the things that are down inside their hearts. They need for you to sit down with them and just share with them and talk with them and find out what they're thinking and find out where they're going and find out what their goals are and find out what their desires are and find out what their struggles are and find out what their problems are and find out where their burdens lie and find out what their fears are. They have them. They're real people just like we are. What a joy! What a great blessing! What a smack in the devil's face if we as fathers and mothers can draw out some of those fears when they're just little seed fears, or draw out some of those struggles when they're only about this big in some child's heart, but we're too busy to spend the time to do it. And that little seed struggle, that little seed fear, because nobody attends to it and nobody takes the time to draw it out, it grows and grows and grows. And then all of a sudden we wonder, why, we just can't talk to Johnny anymore. He's going through a stage. Must be going through a stage. Go a little deeper, my friend. Go a little deeper than that. Don't explain it away as just a stage of life. There may be something deep down inside that heart that could have been dealt with way back there in its beginning stages. They need you to communicate with them. They need a friend. They need a chum. They need a buddy. That's what they need. They need you to be their friend. You say, well, that stuff. Let their girlfriend be their friend. Let their other boys be their friends. Well, I know they need those too. But I'll tell you what they really need. They need a mom and a dad who knows them like nobody else knows them, who cared for them when nobody else was around, to be their friend. Because they're going to need a friend someday. They're going to face things someday, and they're going to need a friend someday, and they need more than just that girlfriend to share their burdens with. They need a father and a mother. So communicate with them. Draw it out of them. Someday, they're going to be facing temptations that roar like a lion on the inside of their little hearts. And they need to have such a relationship with father and mother that when those temptations begin to roar, they'll come and say, I don't understand what's going on inside of me. Can you help me? But if there's no relationship there, those temptations will roar. And those temptations will turn into sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth destruction, doesn't it? They need you. They need you to communicate with them. Find out what's going on inside the heart of that child. Parents, we need to stay up to date with what's going on inside of our children. We need to do that. That takes time. But I'll tell you what it really takes. Just the awareness that we need to do it. When we see that we need to do it, we'll have the time. We'll find the time. You have time if you want to. What else do they need? Number four, they need authority. They need authority. They need adult authority. No, not that do as I say authority. I'm not totally against that. There needs to be some of that still. But the children, they're growing up. They need more than just, if I said it, you do it. They need more than that. They need that adult authority that comes with explanation, that comes with firmness, that comes with questions, that come with a gentleness, that come with a quiet heart, that come with a firmness. They need some adult authority in their lives. Just like all of us need adult authority in our lives, they also need that same kind of authority. Think with me for a moment how it would be if the ministry here in the church just blasted you when they saw you were doing something wrong. How long, what kind of a relationship would you have with the ministry if that's the way they exercised authority over you? It wouldn't last very long, and we all know that. You'd find another church to go to real quick. Well, brothers and sisters, those children that are growing up in the young adults, they need adult authority. The kind of authority that has respect for them while they get their corrections. The kind of authority that will explain something to them while they say, I don't want you to do this anymore. They need that kind of authority. It's true. They need much direction in their developing lives. It's not a time to let them flutter their wings and learn by their mistakes what is right and what is wrong. No, they need clear, firm, loving adult authority that says, where are you going? When will you be home? What are you going to do while you're there? They need that kind of authority. They desperately need it. It's not time to flap your wings. It's not time yet. No, they're still learning. They need that parent standing there watching them learn to fly, coming alongside of them and saying, now you didn't do that quite right. Try it this way. That's what they need. It's not time to turn the bird loose. It's time to teach them how to fly. As I pondered this matter of authority, I came up with these thoughts, and I'll share them with you. When a child is very young, a child needs child's total authority. I mean, you say come and the child comes. You say go and the child goes. You say sit down and the child sits down. Stand up and the child stands up. That's the way authority is with a little one as they're growing up. They need to learn to respond by the word that father or mother says. But as they begin to grow older, the authority relationship has got to change. You cannot guide them the same way. You can't just tell them, sit down because I said so. That doesn't work. You'll wound them. It'll hurt them. They won't come to you anymore. They won't want to talk with you. They'll withdraw their affections from you. No, they need a guided authority. They need a guided authority. I'll tell you what you do. Here's the way it is. First, as they're little, you're the authority over their life. You tell them what to do. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. As they begin to get older, you become the guiding authority in their life. And you watch them as they learn to respond to God. And as time goes on, and you work with them, you finally bring them to where that being is under the authority of God. And when you see that it's under the authority of God, then you can withdraw a little. Many parents make mistakes there, and children suffer for it. Many, many problems because the parents just take their hands off the authority. Or many others suffer because the parents still have the authority over the child that they had when they were 6 years old. Which says, and I believe in this, I don't need to explain why, I just want you to do it. That's right when a child is young. But there comes a time when that child needs to know more than that. Because they're thinking. They're evaluating. They want to know why. Because they're coming up with their own principles of life. And they want to know why. And we need to take advantage of that beautiful opportunity and have that kind of guiding authority in their lives. Children, as they're growing up, want freedom. But we need to help them to see that freedom comes from doing right. It's so in the Christian life, isn't it? The more we do right, the more freedom we get. It's also the same with your children. Let them know that as they do right, they will gain freedom. As they don't do right, they will not gain freedom. And little by little, by guiding and directing them, we lead them into a life where they can make their own choices and do right and come up with the right things in life. That takes time, and we need to be wise and not just turn them loose and let them go on their own too young. Something else that goes along with this matter of authority is accountability. Authority and accountability, they go hand in hand. How was your time? Where did you go? Where are you going? What are you going to do while you're there? All of those kind of words say, you're not on your own. Somebody's watching over you. Number five. Moving along here. What else do they need? They need your respect. They need your respect. And I've said some things about this already, but I want to make it a point in the message. They need to know that you see them as a person and that you're concerned about how they feel. They need to be treated with respect. Some children grow up being stepped on continually, and the parents don't even realize that they're doing it. Children are people. They're persons. Many parents think this way. I'm the parent. They're the child. You can't think that way. You can't think that way. I'm the parent. They're my child. But I'm also the parent. And here is a brother or a sister who's living in my house. Think of it with me. The very way that we respond to each other as brothers and sisters is the way that we need to learn to respond to the children as they grow older in our house. It's exactly the same. Do we blow up at our brothers and sisters in the church? Do we grab them by the ear when they've done wrong? Do we get them in the corner and scold them real good when they've done something wrong? Is that how we do our brothers and sisters? What kind of a response would you get if that's the way you did it? Do we push our weight around with our brothers and sisters? Do we argue with them and put them in their place? Is that how we do with our brothers and sisters? We all know the answers. We all know the answers to these things. We need to put on some mentality of respect as we work with our children. We need to. It's very important. What else do they need? They need your humility. They desperately need to hear you say, I was wrong. I'm sorry.
I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Your children need to hear that. And you may say, oh, wait a minute. No, I can't do that. I'll lose my authority in my home if I do that. No, you won't. You will not. In fact, think with me for a moment. If you don't do that, you're losing your authority in your home. If you do that, you'll gain it every time. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because that child is becoming an adult. And they're gaining discernment. And they know you got angry. If when you get angry, you don't go and clear yourself, you've lost your authority. Because they know you got angry. And you're losing it every time you do it. They need our humility. Number 7. What do they need? They need our touch. Many words of kindness are transferred by the touch. We know it's a fact. Babies don't develop right if they do not have any touch. If no mother takes a baby and holds that baby and communicates with that baby will not develop right. Well, our older children, as they're growing up, they still need our touch. This hand, these hands you have, they're very powerful words. They speak very beautiful messages to your children if you'll use them. They need your touch. They need your hand on their shoulder. They need to feel you squeeze them around the neck. They need to have you come up and get them around the shoulder and just give them a little bit of a hug. How are you today? How are you doing? They need your touch. They need to feel your hand upon their head sometime at a dinner table somewhere. They need that. That's no little thing. I realize we need to be appropriate as our young ladies and our young men become that. There's some propriety that needs to be taken, but also let's not get so proper that we withdraw a very powerful tool and blessing from our children. They need our touch. That son of yours, he needs to feel your hand on his shoulder while you're walking down the road together having a good talk. That daughter of yours, she needs to feel your hand grabbing her hand at a time maybe when you're walking together as a family somewhere. They need our touch. It speaks volumes to them. What else do they need? Number 8. They need your blessing. The greatest motivation of their life is your blessing. I don't understand it all. As I ponder it and I study it, I see it more all the time, but I don't understand it all. There's something inside of your children that says, it's an inside thing, it's an inner witness thing, it's a deep craving inside the heart that says, I want my father's blessing, I want my mother's blessing. It'll drive them, it'll make them sacrifice, it'll make them do many things to have your blessing on their life. What is that blessing? It's a blessing of acceptance and approval and favor. It's that blessing of being pleased with them. It's that blessing that says, I accept you. It's that blessing that says, you're important to me. It's that blessing that says, I believe in you. You can do it. You can do it. Keep on going. It's that blessing that says, God's got plans for you. I've got a vision for you. They need that blessing. It's a motivation. It's a driving force inside of their hearts. And we as parents, we must supply that blessing for our children. And besides, it'll make them eat out of your hand. Because they want nothing more than to please us. A child who never quite measures up never has the blessing. I wonder how many men in this room this morning grew up that way. And you knew it while you were growing up. You just never quite measured up. And that blessing, it was missing. Some of you ladies, when you were growing up with your mother, you wanted that blessing. But you never quite got it, did you? Because you never measured up. No, there's something not right with all that. Even though we should raise very high standards for our children, if our high standards for our children beat our very children down, you need to take another examination of your high standard approach to raising your children. Raise a high standard, but let them reach for it under the favor and the blessing and the approval of father and mother. They'll reach for it more that way. A child who's robbed of this blessing growing up will hurt deeply all the way into adulthood life. They'll grow up with all kinds of struggles and mixed up things going on inside of them. Their concept of God won't be right. It'll be distorted. They need your blessing. The Old Testament, it was so clearly brought out in the Old Testament. Well, them fathers, those children knew they had their father's blessing, their mother's blessing. I mean, he gave it. Father gave it out once a week. They need to know you believe in them. They need to know you have plans for them. They need to know that you see their importance, that they're somebody, that they're special, that they have a future in your visions as you look ahead. They need to know that they're part of it. Give them that blessing. And they'll prosper under it like you can't imagine. And last of all, they need your inspiration. They're growing up now. I can hardly believe how fast they're growing. They need your inspiration. They need father and mother to be the cheerleaders, if I can use that term. Standing on the sideline while they're learning and going through life. Encouraging them on. Come on. Come on, son. Keep going. That's right. That's fine. You're doing good. I know you failed, but get up and keep on going. They need your inspiration. They desperately need it. They'll run themselves ragged if you'll give it to them. They need your positive challenges, your positive exhortations, your prayer continually. Be their spiritual parents, brothers and sisters. You be their spiritual parents. Don't let that for Brother Denny. Don't let it for Brother Mose. For Brother Aaron. You be their spiritual parents. You be the ones that fire up their fuel day by day. You be the ones that stimulate them on to greater heights in the Christian life. You be their spiritual father and mother. They need that. Take them through that middle youth slump. You know what I'm talking about? They got converted when they were 13. And nobody watched over them. They got excited for about a year. Then they settled down. Got a little cold. Kept on going their way. And about 17 years old, the whole thing dawns on them again. And they decide to get right with God. You carry them right through that middle youth slump that so many youth go through. They don't have to go through that. All those young ones that we baptized here just a few weeks ago. What are their ages? 12? 11? 12? 13? 14? Let's carry them through that middle youth slump. Let's just save them that experience of losing the whole thing and having to get it back when they're 17 years old. You know, it's so. Many, many times it happens that way. But I don't believe it has to happen that way. They need your inspiration. They need you to come alongside them and say, how's your walk with God doing? Huh? How's your prayer life? Can we pray together? You have any spiritual struggles that you need some counsel through? Listen, our children don't need to get their salvation experience and go through that slump, you know, for a couple of years, and then a couple of years later get it back again. They don't need to do that. They can have that wonderful salvation experience, go to those baptismal waters with that sincere dedication that they have, and just keep right on going. But you cannot depend upon the preachers to take care of that all the time. To keep those sermons hot and keep that altar warm. No, you can't depend on the preachers to do all that. I'll tell you what will happen. If you depend on the preachers to do that, your child's experience will go like this. But if you'll take the responsibility to be their inspirator, to be the one who inspires them, to give them challenges, to stir their hearts in devotions day by day in your home life, they won't have to go through all that. You be that inspirer of their lives. And let them just keep right on walking through. In conclusion, Malachi chapter 4, it presents such a beautiful picture to us this morning. The picture of a father, the picture of a mother whose heart has been turned away from other things and turned to those children. And you know, brothers and sisters, when a father and a mother's heart does that, the next thing that naturally happens is the children's hearts are turned toward father and mothers. And then what do you have? You have a beautiful relationship. A beautiful relationship. The dividends are tremendous. I recommend it to you this morning. The dividends are tremendous. No rest home for you when you get old, if you'll heed this message this morning. The dividends are tremendous. They'll bring the grandchildren home to your house to sit on your knee if you'll heed this message this morning. They'll honor you in your old age if you'll heed this message this morning. They'll be in heaven with you someday if you'll heed this message this morning. Let's go for it. Parents, let's just allow the Lord to open up our eyes and realize they are getting older. But they're people. These children that God has given us, they're real. They're just like me. They hurt just like I do. They're sensitive just like I am. They get wounded just like I do. They're people. They're persons. They're becoming adults. I'd recommend this to you, each of you parents this morning. Have a little session with your children if you need to. Have a little session with them and just clear the air. Just clear it. You know how it is. You know how time goes. You know how busy you get. You know how those relationships get strained. You know how you get frustrated. You know how you get angry sometimes. Correct them harshly. You know all that. I would just recommend that to you. Just take a little session with your children and clear the air with them. Some parents have put that off for months and years until it was too late. That wound, way back there, it gets lost. And the child maybe can't even remember what it was, where the hurt started. They can't even remember it, but it's way back there. And now, we've got a rebel for a teenager.
16 years old, I'll do what I want. 16 years old, I'll go where I want. 16 years old, I can do what I want to do. I can make my own decisions. 16 years old, I'll wear what I want. 16 years old, I'll work where I want. I'll make my own decisions. I think everyone in this room would tremble to hear those kind of words come out of the mouths of our children. But we may have more responsibility in laying that kind of groundwork than we realize. So I just recommend it to you this morning that you have a little time with your children and make sure that everything's clear with them. I mean, just sit them down and say, "Son, daughter, have I hurt you? Did I offend you? Did I? Please help me. I want to clear myself." I would recommend it to you. Shall we kneel together for prayer?
Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for your watch care over us. We thank you, Lord, for all the children that you've given us. Thank you, God, this morning for every parent that is in this room. Oh, my Father. My Father. How we need your grace. How we need your help, Lord, in the raising of these children. God, we pray this morning that you'll open up our eyes and help us to see the importance of our relationship with our children. Oh, Father, it's more than just, I'm a parent and they're the child. They're people. They're persons. Dear God, teach us to know how to raise our children. Teach us to know how to guide them in a respectful way, in a right way, in a gentle way, in an authoritative way, in an accepting and a blessing way. Oh God, this morning I just pray for each one of us that are here, each of the homes that are represented in this room. I pray, dear God, that you'll continue. Lord, just raise up godly families. Just raise up children who look to their parents with respect and parents who guide their children in a respectful way. Father, we thank you for all the good things you do for us. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given us through the years, each of us, to raise our children. But Lord, we confess before you this morning, we still have many lacks. There are many things we do not know. There's a lot we need to learn. And even when we're all done, we'd have to say we failed in many ways. But oh God, give us the wisdom now. Give it to us now, Lord. Let us eliminate some of those mistakes in the future. God, we pray this for each one of us as parents and as children here. We pray you'll watch over us, Lord. We ask it in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.